Hi, everyone. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. Hi, sweet Melanie.
Stop it. You can't do that. I thought you were going to do. Guess who's back? Back again. Lori's back.
Don't tell your friend because she'll kill him because they're a zombie.
Don't tell your friends.
Hi, sweet Melanie. Vomit. Okay. I had to get out of the way because a couple weeks ago we had our hi. Where'd you go, boo?
Everyone just needs to answer the phone. Hello.
Hello, like a normal person. But you know who's calling because you have caller ID on your cell phone. So just say hi to the person. Don't act like you don't know who's calling. Hello? Oh, who's this? I can't magically see the words that say on my phone. It's Katie calling.
I like it sometimes when there's no salutation, where it's just a jump straight into...
I like that too. I'll cut out all salutations.
Absolutely.
Miss, ma'am, sir, it's all gone. So this is Mommy Doomsday, which is the same title as the podcast. We're not really talking about the podcast. We might talk about a few things about the podcast. Also, this is our fourth episode on this topic. So if you don't know, if the word Lori Vallow, if the word Nick Schneider doesn't mean anything to you, you best go back to first episode, Where Are the Children? No, she's not doing it. Okay, I was going to cue her to do her famous Nancy Grace impression.
I saw the finger. I know. I saw the pull my finger, and I think that I'll save it. There we go.
So the first episode is Where Are the Children? Second, What Happened to the Children? I thought we were doing a who, what, when, where type. So I thought it was going to be How Are the Children?
Yeah.
And Why Are the Children? But we did not. Instead, the third episode was called What Happened to JJ and Tylee? And now this is the fourth one. And I'm telling you, the way Dateline weaves this story, it's complicated, but they're not doing it on purpose. This timeline is like Murder Inception with zombies. It is like a show because I always reference that I watch Dark on Netflix because it's my proudest achievement. It's like multiple timelines. Katie's rolling her eyes.
I'm not. I just closed them slowly to indicate, yes, Dark, yes.
It is. This timeline is... I'm more confused now on this fourth episode than I was in the previous three because I didn't realize how many of the relationships with Lori coincided with each other and overlapped.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, she's a busy gal. I'm on my couch all day playing Best Fiends and she is getting out there. She had like three relationships going at one time practically and several murder plots.
But I feel like this is the one where it came together for me. I went into this episode when I saw it was named Mommy Doomsday. I was like, okay, so this is basically going to be a general recap of what we heard in the podcast. And there is some new information in the podcast, but not an unbelievable amount. It's an updated sort of telling of what's happening.
And it definitely has audio clips and stuff that are totally worth listening to and Keith Snark.
So. Oh, absolutely. 100%. I'm saying, please listen to Mommy Doomsday. It's fantastic. But this episode even had other information than that. So when we first get going in this episode, I was like, we're going all the way back. I didn't know what this was going to encompass.
Rewind. We rewound 10 times.
We're getting the history. Yeah.
History has its eyes on Lori Vallow, and it will not be kind to her.
No.
I'm just going to drop Hamilton references every 5 seconds. We really went back and brought in new people. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. So this Eric.
So hold on to your tuckuses.
Thanks, because it's Passover today. So you have to throw in some Yiddish for me. Appreciate it.
Sure did.
Chag Sameach. So this is, sorry, she didn't like that.
I don't know what it means. Did you just curse at me in Yiddish?
No, it means like happy Passover.
Oh.
This episode aired on March 26, 2021, season 29, episode 37, maybe, I think.
38?
I don't know. 38?
37 or 38, for sure.
Yeah, let's just go with that.
Okay.
So we are going to back in time to 2015, Phoenix. The sudden death of Lori's third husband, Joe Ryan. We meet his sister, Annie. She is brand new information to us at this point. Mm-hmm. Who are you? Joe came from a broken family. He wanted to be a better father than he had. He met Lori when she was his hairdresser. I always forget she was a hairdresser.
New information.
No, I don't think it is.
Old information.
I think we forget because her hair is not that spectacular.
No, I knew she was a hairdresser. Did not know that they met because she was right. His hairdresser. Right. Also, we still don't get to hear about husbands one and two.
Well, I think Lori wasn't as murderous then because she hadn't met Chad or gotten involved in his teachings. So I think the murder was laying underneath the surface. So there might not be as much drama there. But I can't wait. Maybe the episode 5 will be about husbands one and two.
Okay.
Here's hoping.
Okay.
Maybe one of them was named Nick Schneider. So wouldn't that be amazing if that's where she got that name from? So,
or if one of them was named Nick and the other one's last name was Schneider, that would
be. She combined it. Or she just really loved that show where Schneider was the handyman. What was that show? One Day at a Time.
Schneider was the handyman? I'm sorry. I was totally thinking of Wilson, the neighbor. What? Schneider? One Day at a Time?
Yeah. You're too young.
But I am. I am a wee babe. Okay, go ahead.
She's older than I am by like 2 months. So
that's rude. That is, it's Passover. You have to be kind to me. I'm pretty sure that's the rule.
I don't. Those aren't in the rules, actually.
Darn it.
The rules are, why is this night different than all other nights? Which means my normally nice self can be a raging bee.
Oh, no. Okay, wait a minute. Is this the night that Elijah's coming with the chair? Is this the night?
Yeah.
I have a chair ready just in case he mistakes my house for your house. Okay. I'll be ready.
Okay. So they married, but she made him convert first to the LDS church. Remember that. They married in Maui. My mind was blown because we've already known about so many trips to Hawaii and Hawaii weddings. And I didn't realize she was married in Hawaii before. That's her favorite spot.
How long is the flight from California to Hawaii?
I don't feel like it's that far.
It can't be long enough to be annoying, right?
No, I guess it's not.
Because if you keep going consistently to Hawaii, which she goes a bazillion times throughout this, I'm like, it's got to be 4 hours or less. Because anything more than that, you just need to get off the plane.
No, she's hopping on like it's a one-stop bus stop. Like it's one stop to the next.
Like it's to Las Vegas. Like it's an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not. It's longer than that. Mm-hmm. So she already had her son Colby by then, and she was pregnant with Tylee. Joe loved Tylee. He was convinced she looked just like him, but Annie, the sister, said that she didn't, but they all had to go along with it.
That was real cute.
See, and immediately I thought, are they implying that Lori cheated? So they moved to Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. Annie went to visit, and unfortunately, the fresh leather smell was off the marriage.
No.
Gross.
No, thank you.
Hard pass on that. Joe lost his temper during this visit and punched a wall. He got really upset. Annie was very disappointed in her brother and stopped being in contact with him. Like Meredith on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, she disengaged from the situation. Mm. Healthy boundaries, good for her.
That happens a lot on The Housewives. Lots of disengagement.
Yes. But not enough considering how much fighting goes on. So there should be more.
There's a lot of disengagement followed immediately by re-engagement.
Right. They just walk out. They talk to their hairdresser for a sec and then they come right back in. Talk to my makeup artist, come right back into the fight.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Half an hour disengagement.
Lori, it's like a timeout. Lori was super into doing fitness pageants at that time. They're like beauty pageants, but with more upper body strength. In front of the judges, she's giving one of these speeches, and she says, it's important for me to be a good mother and to be a good wife and to be a good worker. And being all of those things isn't easy. So basically, I'm a ticking time bomb. And as awkward as it is, it's still better than Miss South Carolina, such as the Iraq and like such as.
It's just very foreboding in this case.
Super foreboding. I'm surprised the judges didn't hear like creepy music playing and look at each other.
I'm sure somebody got like little prickles on the back of their neck and they just thought it was a fly and yeah. Like, shook their head. But really, actually, it was the hand of Satan.
Yes. And then when they read about her in the paper years later, they were like, I am psychic. I knew it. Soon after this, she filed for divorce from Joe, and it gets really messy. So we meet these two mental health professionals that work for the court, and they help decide custody for the children, for Tylee, during the divorce. Because Lori is claiming that Joe was sexually abusing both Colby and Tylee. Now, we heard about this from Colby in one of the previous episodes, and it was horrible. We felt very bad for him. We still do. But these experts investigate the claims, and they conclude that Joe did not sexually abuse Colby or Tylee. In fact, they both thought the allegations were absurd and not based in reality.
Let's talk about these experts.
Yeah.
Feelings, emotions.
I loved the lady.
Could not love her more. Immediate MVP. Everything about her.
I loved her red outfit. I thought she looked great for Dateline. Later on, she has we'll a jaunty. We'll get to a hat.
We'll get to the fashion
there was a jaunty
police.
Hat, and there's backstory about the jaunty hat on Twitter today. So,
and is there backstory about the two health professionals' relationship to each other?
Are we shipping them?
We're either shipping them. Are they best friends?
Or are they brother and sister, and it's really awkward that we're shipping them?
No. I think they might be best friends.
I hope so.
I was watching them and just their comfortability level with each other, like in body language and stuff. They didn't seem like they were attracted to each other, but they seemed like they had just been doing this a really long time and really sort of were simpatico on things.
At one point he says something and she is like, mm-hmm.
Exactly. I really enjoyed them, and I'm glad we got them in this episode because I feel like they were a good interview and super – just it was nice to have experts on to talk about this in like very real terms. It was good.
Now it is sort of mind flipping everything that we had thought.
It does. And then they do show the interview with Colby. And that was hard because now you look at it in a different way. And I'm like, well, am I looking at it in this way because now I've been told something different? Did I see this before, what I'm seeing now? But I don't know.
They think that Lori matches all the criteria for a falsely accusing mother, which I thought was fascinating. I want to know more about the criteria. We see it a lot on Datelines and messy divorces where people think the allegations are made up. And you always want to believe the victim, but it's people like this that ruin it for everybody. So this is why we can't have nice things, because of people like this. And also you're implanting horrible memories into your children, which is like the worst thing that you could do.
Is it the worst thing you could do?
One of the worst. There's so many on a scale. It's a sliding scale with Lori Vallow.
But on this scale, is it the worst? It's not. I would have rather her do this 1,000 times over than do what actually happens in this case.
That's true.
But
that's a good point.
That's fine.
So Keith is just baffled by this information because he interviewed Colby several times and is like, Colby, my Colby. But Colby still believes he's abused, but the experts believe that's just how good Lori is, that she really tricked him into believing that this happened.
And he's young, right?
He was very young when it happened, yeah.
Okay.
So Lori finds out that the investigators don't believe her, and she makes it clear that she's taking the children to Mexico if she doesn't get custody. And I was like, is that legal?
Well, that's rational.
That shade be, is that legal?
What's the legality? Yeah, I like it. Mm-hmm.
So Lori tells the female expert that we love that Tylee was the reincarnation of Lori's late sister and a former lawyer who was since passed on visited her at night. I was like, very excited about this.
What is happening?
Is it Nick Schneider's brother, Bruce Schneider, attorney at law? He hands out a card. What is it? Does a ghost lawyer hand out his card, like his business card, as he goes through your wall into your bedroom?
My name is Maurice Bouvier, and I'm here beyond the grave.
I think you'll find my hourly rates very reasonable.
To give you legal advice on the custody of your children.
They walk through a wall and they're like, have you been hurt in a slip and fall accident at your place of employment?
Call Maurice Bouvier. It's terrible.
Also, how did Lori's sister die? Do we have any confirmation that it wasn't a moderate to severe case of zombieitis? Because I don't trust any natural deaths anymore. Like, natural deaths don't exist to me anymore in this case.
No. I have some other theories that I can get to about the natural deaths.
Okay.
An idea.
So the female expert says that looking back, she believes that Lori was delusional. I love you, ma'am. I think you have a smart top on, and I love your attitude. I love your jaunty hat. But I do think that you are perhaps delusional if you didn't realize that Lori was delusional back then. And now, just looking back, you find that she was delusional.
Here's the thing. I think that these two mental health advocates are for the children. I don't know how much work they're supposed to do with the parents.
I think they have to investigate the parents as well.
I think that they told all these findings to the judge, though. They said what they recommended. So I think they took this. I think she's being polite in saying delusional, but you feel like she should have used stronger language.
I feel like she shouldn't have said, looking back, I think Lori was delusional.
She should have known at the moment. Right.
I think she knew at the moment. I hope she knew at the moment.
Her blouse tells me she knew at the moment.
Right. The hat tells me. So Lori told another therapist that death would be another option, a better option, before giving Tylee to Joe, even for a visit. What's the legality? Why is no one calling the police? Lori is telling everyone the most shady things possible, and no one is concerned.
This case infuriates me because she went unchecked for so long, and I hate to say it, you know why she went unchecked for so long.
Oh, we'll get to it.
Okay.
It rhymes with Schmite privilege.
No, it rhymes with Schmitty, too.
Schmitty, Schmite, Schmivlage.
Yes.
Schmitty, Schmond.
Schmond.
Schminny.
Schmite.
Schmivlage. Schmivlage. Okay, we'll get to it.
Good. Excellent.
So later.
That should be on a t-shirt. That's a t-shirt.
That's one of those t-shirts that someone behind you stuck in line is just trying to read for the hours that you're waiting in line at Disneyland. Just trying to read it. What is it saying? What is it saying?
Also, you can't wear it because then people are going to think that you're doing it about yourself. So it's a difficult shirt to wear. It's fine.
That's true. So later, Lori's brother, Alex, who Keith tells us is a name we should remember. And I was like, Keith, we already remember Alex. Alex kills everyone for Lori because he's obsessed with his sister and he was married to Zulema, the cuddle therapist who can control the elements. How could we possibly forget?
When is Zulema coming out? When is she coming out of the demon closet to talk about?
When? I want to hear her voice. I need to hear what she sounds like. I need an interview with Zulema. I would pay a lot of money.
Yeah, me too.
I'd be like one of those tabloids that pays a lot of money for stories. I would pay money to meet Zulema.
I would pay $25 to $75.
Alex is Lori's brother, and he went to Joe and attacks him with a stun gun. But Joe survives because Alex was still honing his craft of killing people at this time.
Yeah.
He's not quite an expert yet.
So he was intending to kill him. That's why he had the stun gun, because he was trying to stun him and then stab him. Like, I'm assuming there was another weapon that Alex had.
It was one of these. I just wanted to scare him to back off. But he wasn't going to back off trying to get custody of his child.
No.
So okay. It just wasn't going to work. Both court-appointed experts find that Joe wasn't a threat to the kids. They tell these findings to the court, and the judge only gives Joe some of visitation rights and made Lori the sole conservatory. Why have these experts if you're not going to listen to them? Everything would be different if they had just listened to them.
I'm assuming that Lori also brought in other experts.
But these are the court experts.
These are the court appointed. Yeah, I don't. All I can say is I was glad. I was relieved he got some visitation.
Right. That's true.
Because she was trying to get it that never.
Right. That's true. I hope that you will listen to the guidance of your therapist that you get from BetterHelp. Better than the courts listen?
For sure.
BetterHelp can provide you with the licensed therapist in the privacy of your own home. You can start communicating with a therapist in under 24 hours. You can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, but you can also send a message to your counselor at any time, like SOS, I think my third and fourth husbands might be zombies, and I'm starting to think it's not them, it's me. But Lori never came to that conclusion. So many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So basically every state that Lori Vallow either killed someone, married someone that she then killed, or recruited a member of the 144,000 in. They have people in that state that can help you.
Thank goodness.
They have counselors specialize in all kinds of issues like depression, anxiety, sleep problems, LGBTQ plus issues, marital issues. Like, there's technically three people in your marriage: you, your husband, and his demon, Nick Schneider. If you're struggling with something like this, or even just general life problems that don't involve zombies, you can get help from BetterHelp. It's easy. It's completely confidential. It's affordable. Contact them today. We want all of you to start living a happier life. As a listener, you get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/dateline. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dateline.
Because we could all use a little
better help. Why are we whispering?
It's more dramatic.
Thank you. Thank you, BetterHelp.
Thank you, BetterHelp. Check them out, guys.
So Lori, at this time, is already married to her fourth husband, Charles. That's where I started to realize there was so much overlap here.
Yeah,
while she's doing all this custody stuff. So Lori and Charles move from Texas to Arizona. Then Joe tried to follow because he really wants to see Tylee. And Lori kept stopping him from seeing Tylee, and she even gets charged with judicial interference. Then Charles and Lori move to Hawaii to further separate Joe and Tylee. Lori is like a five-year-old who runs away to her treehouse whenever she gets in trouble. Instead of running to her treehouse, she's like, I'm going to Hawaii. No one can get me there. It's like, I pull up my ladder and no one can get to me. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
But like the court, how is she getting around? Like, the courts do not allow you to do this because he has to agree if you're moving out of state.
Yeah. And she had already been charged with judicial interference. So if she continues to not let him see her child, I don't know how she's getting away with that. So Keith tells us families are so complicated, aren't they? You said it, mister. That is the understatement of the century. Annie is estranged from her brother, Joe, but tried to stay in touch with Tylee, her niece. So Charles, the new husband, tries to include Annie in a family vacation, which is really nice. And Annie thought that Charles was just so sweet and how he included her as the aunt of Tylee. Eventually, Lori and Charles return to Arizona. Then, in 2018, Annie gets a call from her brother saying that he got a letter from the city of Phoenix looking for a relative that could claim Joe's body. And Annie's like,
what?
What? So she calls Lori in a panic and said, oh my God, what happened to Joe? And Lori said, oh yeah, he died. And Annie said, why didn't you tell me? And Lori said, oh, I didn't think you would care.
Okay, a couple things.
Who raised Lori Vallow? Who taught her common things?
Here's what, no, let's be real. Lori is all about Lori, and it's Lori's world. We're all just living in it. So Lori's narrative for Joe, as we know, has been he's the worst. He's, you know, he's a Nick Schneider. He's a demon, basically. Things like that. He's a child abuser.
Yeah. He's not technically a Nick Schneider. Charles is a Nick Schneider, but I know what you're saying.
But I think that what she's been doing is filling Annie's head. I think Annie on this vacation, I'm sure, got an earful about how horrible her brother is the whole trip. So what I'm thinking is, and you know how you're really polite and you just kind of go along with something and you're like, yeah, but really in your heart, you're not, you know, he's not the way that he's being described. I think that's what's happening in this scenario. So Lori thinks that she's convinced her about how terrible he is, so that she thinks that the sister really doesn't care, because of course she just believes Lori because Lori's always right.
I gotcha.
That's what's happening here, I think.
It's been a month and Annie's just now finding out about Joe. Ugh. So apparently he was found in bed after being dead for a week when the neighbors smelled something bad and they called the authorities. They think he died of cardiac disease. Well, more on that later. Annie goes to Arizona to comfort Tylee, but no one seems to need her comfort. Lori is saying things like, Annie, the world is a better place without Joe in it. Again, this is to his sister.
Oh.
Who, the gall. The gall.
The gall, the nerve, the gumption.
What is that from?
Drag Race UK.
Lori had a box of family photo albums that belonged to Joe. She said the police had let her into Joe's apartment and found them and some files. And police release photos of Joe's apartment. And so Annie, Joe's sister, is looking at these photos of Joe's apartment, and she's looking for the box of photo albums and the stacks on stacks of files.
She made it seem like it was stacks on stacks of files. Like there were tons of files strewn about the place. It was borderline a wreck. Like, you know, that's how she made it sound.
They, like hoarders, but there aren't any files in the photos. So could Lori have been in Joe's apartment before the police? Meaning before his body was found? Annie has gone full on detective. That is detective quality work. The other possibility, though, is that Lori was there when the police were taking pictures of the crime scene, and she charmed her, schmivledged her way in before they had even taken photos.
Yes.
And just said, oh, I'm going to grab a few things because she has charms and wiles.
This is his daughter and used Tylee to do it.
Right. Yes. Annie had noticed that Lori was becoming more and more into extreme religious beliefs. She said, sometimes I think it would be better to put my kids in a car and go over a cliff than to endure the end times.
Oh, boy.
Couple things. I'd like to alter that plan slightly. Just take the kids out of the car.
Yes.
Then you go. It's fine.
That was my plan, too. I thought that was, yeah.
Secondly, call the police. Why is no one doing anything about these alarming statements she's making?
Because we're going to find out what happens when the police are called in right. a little bit.
Right. So then we find out my OMG moment. The family calls Lori Lolo.
What? No, thank you.
Why is this the first time we're hearing about this?
No, thank you.
No, I mean, I like Lolo Jones, but Lori Vallow is no Lolo Jones, so...
No, she's no Lolo.
No Lolo. Not a Lolo.
I really don't like it.
I don't like it. Annie starts to think that Lolo has gone low sociopath.
Loco, come on. You were right there. Are you crazy? Are you trying to kill me? Did you just sidestep Lolo went loco?
No, I didn't. It didn't occur to me. Did not occur to me. My brain doesn't work that way.
That's okay. It does sometimes, just not today. That's all right.
So Annie decides to once again disengage. She steps away again. Then someone mysterious, we don't know who, reaches out to Annie saying, hey, I have a I imagine they're in a trench coat and they're meeting in a parking garage like Deep Throat.
That seems right.
I have a recording of Lori talking about how she wanted to murder Joe. Do you want it? Who is this person? Annie won't tell us. So apparently Lori was at a religious meeting, and which she starts her speech by saying, I'll just start by saying I'm a personal witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Stop. And,
yeah.
I'm going to start every podcast and every phone call like that from now on.
Hi, this is Kimberly. Hi, this is Katie.
Hi, this is Katie, and I have witnessed, and I'm a personal witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I have to give a guest lecture on Wednesday. That's how it will be starting. And if people choose to stay, they can. But they're going to hear some things that are pretty out there.
And so. I'm just going to jump in and go, and I'm a Jew. But I'm going to do my hands really big, like Liza with a Z.
Like jazz hands.
I'm going to be like, I'm a Jew.
Oh, so, please do that. Oh, by the way, RIP Jessica Walter. Too soon.
Oh, my God. Oh, I can't deal.
I almost texted you, but I was too sad in my grief. So
I know. I was buried in my grief by sharing a lot of GIFs of Arrested Development. And I also tweeted, I want to cry, but I can't spare the moisture.
God bless you. That's the Lord's work that you've done there. That's good.
Thank you.
That's
a good Thank one. You. So... Lori says, and someone's secretly recording this meeting. Again, who? I'm picturing Nancy Grace in disguise. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong because she would use the audio on her own show for her own clout. We know.
Why are they recording it?
It's so bizarre. No one knows.
I think they thought they were going to hear something really profound and they wanted to go back. Or somebody was ill and couldn't make it, so they wanted to make sure to tape the thing for them. Maybe.
Yeah, that's possible.
But clearly they heard some stuff that disturbed them at the meeting. That's what I liked.
So Lori talks about her custody battle with Joe, and she says, I was going to murder him. You know, like the scriptures say.
She says that 8 times. Like the scriptures.
Like the scriptures say. Basically, she would find all the verses in the Bible that would back this up, that would make it sound like it is okay for that you to do this.
Possibly like one of my biggest no-nos. That like seeking out things in religious text to complement the thing that you're trying to accomplish is a different level of low. And also, they said specifically in this episode, not on the podcast, I don't think, but in this episode, that she was finding other texts of Joseph Smith. So it's not just the Bible. She was getting these writings about.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It was other texts, too. So she was looking far and wide to find things like the come at me once, come at me twice.
But this is why people do this is. Yeah, you're right. It's so troubling when people do things and start wars and do things because they found a verse that backs up what they wanted to do to begin with. Because you can find a verse to back up basically anything you want to do. I could say, I want to rob a 7-Eleven and steal all the Funyuns, and there would be a verse to support that.
Absolutely.
It just hasn't been found yet.
It's Matthew 7:11. There we go. We did it. Nailed it. 1 Thessalonians 7:11.
So she says, I decided not to kill him. I realized I did not have a murderous heart. No, what she realized was that her brother Alex has a desperate to please murderous heart, and she has him do the dirty work. We all know that's what happened. So Annie looks at Joe's autopsy report, and it was an external examination only. So they didn't open him up, which I don't think that even qualifies as an autopsy because they didn't even look at his heart, but they're saying it was a heart attack because of his past medical records. This is ridiculous.
That's pretty crazy to me.
That's nonsense.
Okay.
Someone who was privy to the situation told Annie that, again, who is this person?
Who?
She's so vague. She's like, I cannot reveal my sources, but one of them who knows who killed JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Yeah, I feel like that's what she was trying to say to Keith with her eyes. One of my sources knows who killed JonBenet Ramsey.
I know all the secrets, Keith.
Yeah. So this person, this mysterious person, told her that Lori would get over $100,000 in life insurance. So
is that new information? Because I was pretty shocked by that.
No, I think we always knew there was a lot of life insurance going on with all the husbands.
I don't think I knew it was with Joe, but it makes sense that it would be like probably something held in trust for Tylee, but in the care of Lori. But
mm-hmm.
It's 150. Ugh.
Yeah. So now let's move on to Charles, husband number 4. Numero 4.
In this story, number 2.
Correct. Charles was from Lake Charles, Louisiana. That has to be fun growing up. I bet people would be like, hey, do you own the Lake Charles? So then he moves to Texas. He meets this model woman who her name's Kimberly.
Let's just get that out of the way now. And I also wrote AKA Ghost of Kimberly Future. I was very excited.
Yes, I wish. I need some lips, but I could get there. She has bone structure for days. So I couldn't get there. Maybe with surgery. So, but here's the thing about her. This is crazy. So I write in my notes, she looks like a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. Okay? This is what I write in my notes. 10 minutes ago, I get a message from Melissa, our friend Melissa from Moms and Murder, who says, oh my God, the woman who was married to Charles Vallow was the psychic on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City this past season. So they all are in Vegas and they go see this psychic/woman empowerment author lady, and she's a hypnotist too, and she gets them to do this deep dive about their relationship that tears them all apart. Basically, it's awesome, and they're all inside her house sitting on her couch, and she's like saying, now who doesn't trust Jen? And everyone raises their hands. And Jen's looking around like in horror because everyone's raising their hands. It's amazing. So that's her.
How did you not recognize her?
Well, maybe this is what I think, because I wrote she looks like a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. I think my subconscious recognized her.
You remembered.
Yeah. So one day, Charles was fiddling with a handgun, and it went off and went off inches from her head, which sounds eerily close to what happened with Tom Randolph, the widower and wife number 4 and a half. So they divorce.
Was it because of a gun?
They had issues. She had a miscarriage, and he really wanted children. But mostly he got mean, she said. It doesn't sound like the Charles we know. Basically, everyone thought Charles was the nicest guy except for Kimberly.
Why are we hearing the story about the gun, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, it's I don't know. The next woman we meet involved with Charles seems much more important to the story, to be honest. Well, it's true. Sorry, Kimberly, but you were on Real Housewives. You're a legend. Come on. So Charles marries another woman, Cheryl. Cheryl, they wanted children, so they adopted one of Charles's nephews. I know what you're thinking, not JJ. There was another adopted nephew before JJ, his second adopted nephew. And they had a biological child. But then they decided to get divorced. Now, Cheryl says it was angry and bitter, but she still liked him. She wasn't like against him like Kimberly was. And she was really happy when he met Lori. She thought Lori seemed great. She was religious. She had 2 kids. Cheryl, look a little harder next time.
No. Don't look a little harder. Lori's okay at first meeting. You forget. Lori's okay for like the first couple times. That's what makes her so dangerous.
But the fourth marriage is a bit of a
true.
And extreme custody battles with her last husband.
True.
So there are some warning signs, I think.
Yes.
But Lori convinces Charles to convert to Mormonism, which is exactly what she did with Joe. He does. And she said, you're going to need to help me with this custody battle against Joe, because that's still going on. Charles and Lori get married. Cheryl sees an instability in Lori pretty quickly.
There we go.
And realizes she doesn't want her and Charles's children to be around her. So something bothered her that much that she did not want her children to hang around with Lori. So Lori and Charles adopt another one of Charles's nephews, JJ. They move to Kauai. So at this point, everyone at the Hawaiian airline knows Lori by name. She is getting all the free pretzels.
Oh, yeah.
Who am I kidding? She doesn't eat carbs, but she gets vodka. No, she probably doesn't drink. I don't know what she gets. A towel, an extra cold towel. I don't know if she's flying first class. She flourished in Hawaii. She sang in the church. She charmed everyone. She was great with the kids around in the church. But 2018, the whole family moves back to Arizona.
Did Joe pass away while Charles and Lori are in Hawaii?
No, they still moved back and he was there.
They had moved back and then he passed.
Yes. So it is around this time that Annie said Lori was getting super into the end of times. Then we get to see our dear friend, Melanie Gibb. We've seen her many times, as I like to call her.
Mel B.
It's Mel C, and the C stands for complicit. So
is it? It's not C, it's Gibb.
It's Gibb, but C stands for, but you said B, so I said I C.
Sorry, I took the B from Gibb.
You took the B's from Gibb, didn't you? It's fine. So it's a common mistake.
I like C better. C's more clever.
She is complicit. Let's be real.
Yeah.
So she becomes friends with Lori and takes her to a conference in Utah where Lori meets, dun, 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 Chad Daybell, which is the exact wrong two people that you would ever want to meet. It's like two supervillains who aren't that good at supervillaining meeting together and deciding to partner up and take on Gotham City.
It's like if Mormonism had superheroes that turned bad, that like drank a potion that took them to the dark side of the Mormon temple.
Lori would be the supervillain in training and Chad would be the poison that turned her in to the supervillain. So Chad could see the spirit world. He could see the past and the future. So Lori gets super into this. Lori holds a spiritual conference at her house. Chad drives 13 hours to get there. And this is conveniently when Charles is out of town. So she's starting to not be as into her husband anymore and being more into Chad. Then we hear a little clip of the podcast, Feel the Fire, and I was shocked and...
That it's not about gonorrhea?
Disheartened. That's my joke.
Did you have it written down?
No, but remember the episode The Fire Inside, and I kept calling it gonorrhea?
That's why I said it. I'm not claiming it. Sorry, everyone. Disclaimer.
It was an homage.
I'm saying it to please her. The fire down below. Yeah, I know.
But here is what really upset me about the podcast. They have a more professional setup than we do. They had soundboards and stuff.
I have a towel on a ladder.
It's super profesh.
Don't judge me.
I'm just sitting in my apartment.
I'm still moving in.
Okay, we'll get there one day. We'll get to Feel the Fire level of podcasting one day. We're only 4 years in. It's fine. We'll get there.
And I have to say, their introduction to Feel the Fire was the most tepid, unfiery. It was like, hi, this is Melanie back today, and I've got Lori with me.
You know the SNL skit with the two public radio hosts?
Yes, it's Anna Gasteyer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it sounded like. That is the opposite. Feel the Fire is supposed to have, beer, 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 beer. Feel the fire.
Yeah.
Power of power.
No, and it's like, hi, this is Melanie Gibb, and I am
literally is
here with Lori Vallow. And we're talking about God today.
We're talking about God is good. Lori, how are you? It's Wednesday.
I also think God is good, Melanie. Thank you for asking.
I really wanted to hear Lori's voice. I was bummed out. I think they don't have permission to play Lori on the podcast.
No, I'm sure they do. I think it's on YouTube. I think you can find parts of the podcast on YouTube.
Don't listen to it, just in case.
I'm worried it'll brainwash you. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Please don't listen to
me. We don't want to be held responsible. So Melanie could see that Chad and Lori are falling in love. And Melanie asked Lori, why don't you just get a divorce from Charles? And Lori said, we can't because of the church. But we can totally murder people and the church is totes cool with that. So that's our plan. She didn't say that to Melanie. Melanie was all, had her head in the clouds. She didn't know what was going on. Chad tells Lori that they were godlike. Translated beings that were married in previous lives. He had 31 previous lives. Lori had 21, but she's a woman, so she obviously doesn't have as many as a man. They were in charge of finding, that's probably my own issue that I'm putting on them.
It's true. I thought the same thing. I was like, why can't she have as many? Okay. Right.
It is a religion.
Subtle you know. Sexism.
Got yeah. It. They were in charge of finding the 144,000 that would be saved in the second coming of Jesus Christ after the end of times. Melanie was one. Alex, Lori's brother, was one.
Convenient.
Because they need a bouncer in the second coming.
Well, they have to fight locusts and stuff. There's stuff that happened. Remember, there's plagues and famine. And
that's true.
Fiery. I think there's fiery horsemen. There's things that need help.
Yeah, we need Alex for. Yeah. Charles and Lori decide to sneak into an LDS temple and perform a secret sealing ceremony, sealing themselves as husband and wife for eternity. That's pretty good.
Thank you. The seal comes in.
So, even though they've already been married in previous lives, and even though she's still married to Charles, for now, Keith tells us. Oh, yes, for now.
Question for you. What's a translated being again?
Like someone who's above a higher plane.
Why don't they call it a transcendent being?
I think it's probably similar.
It's not, but that's cool.
Remember they had dark people and light people, the people that were beings of light and people that were beings of dark. And the darkest person on earth is Oprah, which brings us to Keith's best line on the podcast. And I'm not going to give it away. You have to listen to the podcast, Mommy Doomsday, because that line made me laugh so hard.
Very smart.
So at this point, Lori steals Charles's truck, goes just balls to the wall, nutso. She locks him out of the house. He calls the police saying he can't get in touch with his kids. He's locked out of the house. The police go. His stuff has been taken out of the house. She stole all this money from his accounts. She did all of this crazy stuff. And Charles is telling the police that Lori said, you're not Charles. I can murder you now with my powers because you're not Charles anymore.
Oh,
And she won't. And they said, can you take her to a doctor? And he said she won't go to a doctor because she's a translated being and she cannot die. So Lori had told Melanie that Charles would die. It was all foretold. Chad heard it in his portal in the closet or something like that.
I would like to hear more about the portal. We didn't get any more about the portal.
I know. The portal was probably episode 2. I think we heard a lot about the portal.
So you guys go back to our other children episodes and listen about the portal. The portal is shocking and just, it's shocking.
Yeah. Lori said that Charles was an unclean spirit, a zombie possessed by Nick Schneider, at which point Keith says, a zombie? That sounded ominous.
How about the fact that the zombie had a name, like a stuffed animal has a name? Nick Schneider. Also, if your child names a stuffed animal Nick Schneider, like with a full first name and a full last name,
without seeing this episode, and they've just come up with that name,
that bear needs to go in the garbage.
Get thee to an exorcist immediately. So Charles asked the police for help, saying, she needs help. I'm scared, but she needs help psychologically. And Lori agrees to take a mental evaluation. The police fall for it. She's being charming. They're saying, oh, I believe you. I didn't know this part of the story. I don't see you as being, you know, a danger to yourself or others. You know, you seem great. You're so pretty. Can I have your number? No.
It's basically, it's very close to that. No, it's just that she, and you also, I can't fault these police officers because seeing her in these interviews, she's unbelievably good.
She's very good.
So good. And also, in a lot of them, she has Ty Lee with her. Mm-hmm. And that's really sneaky to have this young teenage girl with you who's like, I love my mom. It's really manipulative. I don't like it.
Do you want to trick the police into thinking you don't believe in zombies? Beta brand pants will make you look like a totally sane, non-murderous, professional boss lady.
100%.
So Beta brand customer favorite dress pant yoga pants, which are dress pants that are as comfortable as yoga pants, are made from wrinkle resistant stretch knit fabric, which means you can wear them all day and night on a trip to Hawaii, in a business meeting about the second coming, or just lounging around your house, visiting your spiritual husband in the portal in your closet. They have tons of styles like boot cut, straight leg, skinny, cropped. They always have new styles and new colors. I got my most recent pairs, the straight leg four pocket yoga denim. I love them. I love wearing them to run errands and actually getting dressed for the day. It makes me feel so like instantly better when I put on real clothes and I feel like I present better to the world. Right now, our listeners can get 25% off their first order by going to betabrand.com/dateline. That's 25% off your first order for a limited time at betabrand.com/dateline. Find out why women are buying 5 different pairs of these pants by going to betabrand.com/dateline for 25% off.
I want my betabrand. I want my betabrand. Beta brand pants with pockets.
Not alphabet beta. That's not bad, right? If I add in a little thing.
I really like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to do it better next time. Beta brand should just get ready.
We're ready. And I know you can't use it in your ads because it sounds like something else.
Suspiciously similar to something else.
But it's there.
It's there. It's there for the offering. Yeah.
Just in cases.
Yeah. So Lori passes the psych test. She's joking around the cops. She is let go freely. This is where you just have to talk about white privilege for a moment and just look at the experience of Lori Vallow and Elijah McClain, who was also had concerns about his mental health. And just to do a little research and reach the same conclusions that we did. So, or your own, whatever. So Charles goes to see a lawyer. Lori had drained his bank account. He's so broke that he can barely afford to file for divorce.
That's crazy. She took $35,000.
Yeah. But he had a lot of money too in other accounts too. I think he was doing very well.
I think it's just like that kind of money that's not liquid.
Right, exactly.
Right? You have to like kind of do some work to move the money. So it's not immediate. And he needed a divorce yesterday.
He also wants an order of protection because he's scared.
Very smart.
But then 2 months later, he writes the attorney and says, we're back together.
I need to know what happened here.
I thought he was like already dead at this point, and this was a fake email, because that's how my Dateline watching mind works, that it's the killer writing the email. No, it's real. They got back together. She's that good that she convinced him that everything was okay.
I think that this has to do with the church. If I had to guess, I would say that she somehow was like, well, I'll go with you, but you have to go to counseling with me. And so they started doing like counseling sessions through the church and things like that. And then it is frowned upon to get divorced when you're a Mormon.
She's already been divorced 3 times. She doesn't care about that.
Do you think that's going to stop her from using that logic? I don't think that stops her.
I think it was about the money. And I think she probably wanted to stay married to him.
Right.
For as long as possible for the money.
Yeah.
You think that's the logic, that's what she used to convince him?
Yes, because I feel like the church would also, if he's been going to the church now for 5 years, he's invested, and they're telling him, you know, you need to work through this. There's mistrust here, and this is on both sides, and, you know, they're going to do that kind of stuff.
All she has to do is stop talking about this zombie stuff, too, and he'd think she went back to normal. He'd be like, oh, my wife is back. Great.
I am kind of surprised she showed her hand so much. Why did she show her hand so much on this?
But look all the way back to what she was doing during the court proceedings. I'm going to drive my kids over a cliff if the end times. I'd rather kill myself than give the kids, you know? Like, she just told everyone everything.
Yeah, that is true. And gets away with it. Yeah.
Gets away with it. So then she has no recourse to stop, you know?
Yeah, why would she?
Why would she? So... the lawyer, oh, and Charles writes in his email, love wins. Nope.
That's sad.
It's so sad. Also, the lawyer was hilarious because the lawyer is like, great, so happy for you guys. You're going to make it work, I think.
He has to do that. But like, God, how awkward.
Does he have to do that? I feel like he could have said, no, I think you were scared for your life. This is a bad idea.
Can he do that? I don't know if he can do that, what you just said.
Why can't he? He's a lawyer. He's being retained for counsel. So why can't he give his advice?
I mean, I'm sure as far as lawyers go, there are easy cases and difficult cases. This is a difficult case.
Yeah.
So this is probably one of the cases you don't want to take. So he's probably like, oh, thank God. I don't have to do the doomsday one, the Nick Schneider case.
That's true. So within weeks, Lori has left Charles again. I guess love didn't win this time. And one day, Charles is killed by Lori's brother and disciple, as Keith calls him, Alex. And Alex says it's in self-defense. If you want to know more about that, it is in all the previous episodes. Melanie hears about this, and she is shocked. How are you shocked, Melanie? She tells Keith, this part got me. This part made me done with Melanie. I already wash a lot because of COVID. I washed my hands again.
Okay. What was it?
I double washed with Melanie. So she says to Keith, I didn't think being a zombie would get Charles shot. Like, shot? I thought maybe they would pray over him and his spirit would leave and his body would die. So you thought they were going to kill him with prayer. And you were okay with that.
I think
that's what you're saying.
No. You can't. Well, you can. I mean, you can get mad at whoever you want. But I'm just saying, think about her belief structure at the time. Her beliefs. This is so ingrained in her that she thinks.
I know
that this is a peaceful death that needs to happen so that his soul can be set free. She thinks this is good.
Like a mercy killing.
Pretty much. This is an evil demon that needs to leave this earth. And Charles will then go to heaven, and they believe in reincarnation. So Charles will just become reincarnated as someone else.
Yeah, no, I know you're right. But when people start dying, I feel you got to question your beliefs a little more.
Well, when they start dying by a gunshot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it doesn't stop Melanie. She's full on board. She's like, it was surprising, but it didn't stop me. So Charles' son with Cheryl, his second wife, Cheryl, gets a text from Lori saying, and we see the text this time. We've heard about the text. We see it. I'm sorry to tell you your dad has passed away. I'm working on arrangements. I still love you. And so did your dad. Heart emoji.
Oh, my Lord. Every time it gets me, I forget. And then I see it again and I'm like,
a freaking text message.
Monster.
And Cheryl is like, oh, she killed him. She's like, oh, she killed him. So, and when the lawyer hears, he knows too. Mm-hmm. She killed him. Because Charles had told the lawyer, if anything happens to me, it's Alex and Lori.
Because she wouldn't have the guts to, or she wouldn't do it herself. She'd have Alex do it, but it would be her idea.
Yep. So when Lori tries to get Charles's life insurance, she finds out that he had changed it to his sister. Listeners, if you're new to our show, what have I been saying since day one?
They wouldn't know because they're new to our show. So tell them.
You're right. So, old listeners, what have I been saying since
they
day one?
They can't speak. They're not here. It'll have to come from you.
If you make changes to your life insurance policy that take away someone's reasoning for wanting to kill you, make sure they know about it so they know they have no reason to kill you. Don't keep it secret. Tell them.
Send an email.
Right? Charles, in secret, changed the policy to his sister. Lori thought she was getting it. That's why she had him killed.
Now, in the subject line, will changes.
Yes. Exactly. Because just in case she doesn't get to it right away and you put it in all caps and you mark it important, it's flagged as important.
Life insurance policy update.
Yes. But you know what? I would also call. I would send a text. I would woof it. I would send a woof because you have to make sure they get that message because there could be a hitman around any corner looking for you.
And Charles seemed to kind of know it and then he didn't know it anymore. I would love to know what happened.
It's almost like a battered spouse. Like he kept going back and
he almost got
nothing
out.
Nothing changed. And he almost got out.
He was really close.
Yeah. So Lori takes the kids and she moves to be near Chad in Rexburg,
Idaho.
Alex and Lori take Tylee and JJ to a family trip to Yellowstone Park. This is when Tylee is last seen ever by anyone ever again. There's a photograph taken. Weeks later, the last time JJ is ever seen again. Now, Lori had already told Melanie that they are now zombies. And this is, again, why I am a little harsh on Melanie C, because she knew already now, because of Charles, what happened to zombies.
I think Melanie is just doing that wishful thinking thing so hard, just thinking, well, they couldn't do that to a child. So there must be another way that child are dealt with in the scenario that they become a zombie. She must have like worked it out in her brain, like how people do.
Yeah, it's true. People trick themselves to believe what they want to believe.
All the time. And much smaller things than this.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there is another problem, though. That problem is that Chad is also married to Tammy for 30 years. And Keith says Chad is taking liberties with biblical commandments. He is walking around kissing in public with Lori, canoodling, one might say, as they say on Dateline, but he's still married to Tammy. Tammy's sister, we meet Samantha.
This is the best. Tammy's sister.
Tammy's sister, Samantha, and her husband, Jason, they are newcomers to Dateline as well.
Welcome to the family. I was so excited because I really wanted to hear from her. This was an interesting interview to me.
They always thought that Chad and Tammy were so in love. Tammy was raised in Utah. She was very smart. The sister says, we're all smart in my family. Right out of high school, Tammy got engaged to Chad. They were married in the LDS church. Chad worked at the local cemetery. Now, they don't mention it in this Dateline, but I believe in one of the previous Datelines, we learned that the cemetery is where he started hearing voices. Well, first, he almost drowned, and that's when he had his first revelation. But then when he was working in the cemetery, I think like a headstone or something was talking to him and told him he should spread the gospel. So that's when he decided to start writing books. And Tammy and he launched a mom and pop publishing company, which went bankrupt. Ouch.
How strange. I'm surprised.
I'm shocked. It looked great. The books looked super high quality. So Chad had a revelation that they should move their 5 kids to Rexburg. And so Tammy prayed on it and agreed. And they went and they loved it in Rexburg. She went home to visit her sister one time alone without Chad. And Chad was busy working, apparently. This was only a few weeks after JJ and Tylee were ever seen alive again, which that was another OMG, it's so overlapped. Mm-hmm. That like Tammy is still alive and still married to Chad when JJ and Tylee go missing.
It's a pretty short timeline, I think, for the drama.
It is. It's so much shorter than we think it is. It sounds, all this stuff is like,
boom, boom, boom.
What could happen on 25 years of a soap opera? Because, you know, on a soap opera, they're on the same first date for 2 weeks. This is like, it would take 20 years to get through this whole story. But this happened in just a few years.
No, this happened in a few months.
Months, actually.
Within like a year.
Well, including Joe, it happened in like a few years. I need a time chart. I'm going to make a time chart for Murder Inception with red string. I don't know. But it's going to take up a whole wall in my apartment. I don't even.
Do you need a whiteboard?
I need a big white. I have a big whiteboard, actually.
Bulletin board or whiteboard?
I need a whiteboard. I like a whiteboard much better.
But no pins with the string?
Oh, yeah. I guess I could do the pins with the string. But then I have to use printer ink and print out pictures of people. I might do that.
Why? Well, you could draw pictures of people. That might be really
maybe funny. Really funny. We all know my stick figures are extraordinarily on point.
Grade A number one work. Works of art.
Mm-hmm. Samantha never sees her sister again. Because shortly after, she is dead. But first, Tammy posts something on Facebook that says, something weird just happened. A guy in a ski mask shot at me with a paintball gun. Like it was a prank. And so she posts about it. It is not a prank. This is clearly Alex. They don't talk about it in the Dateline. But around this time, Lori's niece, Melanie, who is a different Melanie, she's going through a messy divorce with her husband. Her mm-hmm. husband also gets shot at around that time by Alex. Mm-hmm. So we always forget about that other husband because he didn't die. So he's not one of the victims. But
right.
I always forget there's all these other people. So they were on the podcast. That's how I remembered them. Thank you, podcast. That's, I was like, oh, I forgot about them. So and they got married in Vegas at the same time as Alex and Zulema after knowing each other 2 weeks.
You guys listen to the podcast.
Listen to the podcast. But also that stuff is in the previous episodes of Dateline. So 10 days after this incident with the paintball gun, she passes away in her sleep. She was 49 and healthy, and there was no autopsy. What the actual nonsense.
I really don't get it. I really don't get it.
I don't get it.
It has to be ordered, right? It's very strange, but also keep in mind, this is small town Idaho. They're not suspecting foul play. The things that seem so obvious to us, they don't know that a woman named Lori Ball is in town. Right, they don't know any of this stuff. So they just think, here's this deeply religious man whose wife has passed.
And her husband is not asking for the autopsy.
Let's spare them the indignity of cutting up her body, which is very ironic.
Yes.
Some information that we find out coming up, which made my jaw drop to the ground.
That's what we call a foreshadow.
Yeah.
Chad tells Samantha, I don't want to be in that house anymore. It reminds me of Tammy. I'm going to go stay with a friend. He's staying with Lori. 2 weeks before Tammy died, we find out that Lori picked out wedding rings for her and Chad on Amazon. 2 weeks before Tammy died, she picked out the wedding rings for her and Chad for the reasonable price of $35.99.
With the Aztec print.
So romantic, and what a way to pre-plan, Lori. But at least she bought them and didn't steal them for one of her children and gave it to the other child, Mickey.
That's true.
Joey needed it.
We're looking at you, Mickey.
Also on the podcast, Keith calls them tasteful.
I'm sorry.
He was sarcastic.
That shade.
He goes,
absolutely.
Tasteful.
The whole situation is tacky. That she's buying them before Tammy has died. Is the fact that she's this whole thing.
Reeks of tacky.
And a lot of other things. Tacky is a very tame word for evil, pure, unadulterated evil and adulterated. It's adultery and evil.
A month after Tammy died, Chad calls Tammy's sister and her husband and says, I have to tell you something. I went to Hawaii and got married a month after Tammy died. And Samantha is furious at this. She should be furious that Lori was doing all that flying around without an away suitcase. It's ridiculous.
It is unacceptable because if you're not flying with Away, why fly?
What's the point?
No, scratch that. If you're not traveling at all without Away suitcases, you're really missing out.
Are you even traveling?
It's a very good point.
Existential.
So Away Suitcases is a modern lifestyle brand that creates thoughtful products for every traveler and every kind of trip. They started with the perfect suitcase, and I will say it is the perfect suitcase, crafted with features that make travel even more seamless. And now, when travel looks a little different than it did before, you can always count on Away's range of suitcases, bags, and accessories whenever you take that next trip. Kimberly and I are two people who talk about where we're going to travel quite a bit. Kimberly, where is on your list of traveling locations?
To see you. If I didn't say that, you would have killed me.
I would have broken down and cried right now.
And I almost said other things.
But we are also trying to plan to go on a trip together, in which case we are definitely going to need Away suitcases.
Yeah, because I'll steal yours.
No, I will be getting you your own. All of Away's suitcases are designed to last a lifetime with durable extenders that can withstand even the roughest of baggage handlers. Every suitcase comes with an interior organization system that includes a built-in compression pad to help you pack more in. You can fit so much in these suitcases, guys. And also a hidden and removable laundry bag so you can separate your dirty clothes.
I love that. That's right? Genius.
That's the best. Even for an overnight, it's great to put your dirty clothes aside from your normal clothes. They have those four 360-degree spinner wheels, which are the best, and you feel so fancy at an airport. I've never had them before I had my Away suitcase, and now I'll never go back.
No, I only have the 180. I only have 180.
I remember, and it's a travesty. I don't know if I'll ever have another suitcase than an Away suitcase. That's how much I love them. They're available in all different materials, polycarbonate. They have aluminum ones, which are really sleek. And they also have nylon ones. And they have all these colors and different sizes. And they're TSA approved, which is great. And they also have an approved combination lock. So you can lock your suitcase if you have valuables inside.
Oh, nice.
There's a 100-day trial on everything that Away makes, which is amazing. So you can take the product out on the road, live with it, travel with it, maybe even get lost with it for 100 days. And if you then decide it's not for you, you can return it.
That's amazing.
You can return any non-personalized item for a full refund during that period. No ifs, ands, or asterisks. And they are designed to last a lifetime. Away offers free shipping and returns on any order within the contiguous US, UK, Europe, and Canada.
Woohoo!
So start your 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases. Highly recommend at awaytravel.com/date-dateline. That's awaytravel.com/date-dateline. Check them out, guys.
Take me away.
Right after this, we all need to get away.
Oh, do I? In fact, I'm going right now.
Thank you so much, Away. Check them out, guys. Seriously amazing products.
So Tammy's sister, Samantha, grieves by becoming a sleuth, which is exactly what we would do.
Love it. That's why I liked her so much.
She looks into Lori's past. She starts to think maybe Tammy didn't pass away in her sleep. And she didn't like it. And Keith says, but if she didn't like it now, just wait.
Oh, my God.
Just you wait, Alexander Hamilton. Okay, so Chad calls Samantha with another question that set off the seismic scale. Thank you, Keith. He says, hey, do you know anything about your sister being exhumed?
Oh, boy.
They didn't know. So they drive to the cemetery and they see that it's happening. Why does the county not tell her sister? They're exhuming Tammy's body. But I'm glad they're investigating it.
Because they suspect foul play and they don't know what happened here. And they said they did it within a day. They exhumed it and put her back in.
So they don't have to get permission from the family if they suspect foul play.
I think they're literally doing toxicology and putting her back in the ground.
They were. They said it was just like an hour or something. So Samantha says, Chad, tell me about your new wife. Does she have any kids? Oh, where are? No.
No.
Come on. You're not even going to do it once?
Press on. Let's do that now.
So does she have kids? And Chad says, no, they're grown. So we'll be empty nesters.
For some reason, that really grosses me out that he says that they're going to be empty nesters. I don't want to think about, let me state this very clearly. There's a lot of like reference to Chad and Lori having lots of PDA.
Yeah.
And there's lots of them holding hands and video of them being sort of touchy.
No, they were affectionate.
Him grabbing her rear a lot, which I really don't like. And so the idea of them being empty nesters just makes me think that they're walking around naked all the time.
Yeah,
and doing it.
You're 100% right. I didn't think about that, but you're 100% right. Yeah. Nudie time all the time.
It's already gross for the obvious reason that they actually do have children, young children, but then there's this other aspect.
Right. They have two. JJ is 7 years old when they're saying that. It's like someone saying, I'm about to become a widower. You're like, what? So JJ's parents have police go check on JJ. They go and Lori says JJ's out of town visiting Melanie Gibb. She also gets really upset. The audio is on the podcast a lot more in detail. And she's like, I'm a good mom and everyone else is causing problems. At this point, JJ's already dead. And she is crying, saying she's a good mom and everyone else is causing problems.
She's real good. It's really creepy.
She's real good. Also, the police are like, who are those two guys that were at your house? And she's like, oh, it's my brother Alex and his friend Chad. Chad and her had been married for 3 weeks at that time. But she's like, that's my brother's friend, Chad.
But she's putting it off. She's like, oh, I'm not sure. He was with another guy. There was another guy. It was probably Chad.
Yeah. And then they're like, what's his last name? She's like, oh, I don't. And they're like, isn't he an author? Didn't his wife just die? He's the guy. And she's like, oh, really? I no idea. So Chad and Lori call Melanie and say, the police are going to call you. We told them that you are with JJ. You're seeing Frozen 2. Don't drag Kristen Bell into this. That's when it all changed for Melanie. Like, which is so, like, that's when it changed for you. That's when it changed for you.
When she was being personally brought in and asked to lie.
To the police.
Was the straw.
When she was being personally affected, not two children have gone missing.
Not Charles was shot. Not any of that. It is.
When she is being personally affected.
She could go to jail.
Right. And right. Then she says to Keith, you have no idea how horrible that moment was for me.
But I do understand if she's telling the truth and this was the moment that like everything was washed away and she could no longer justify it in her mind.
Yeah.
That is a horrible moment.
It's all of her belief systems just crumbling down in one moment, basically.
That's horrible.
So she tells the police she hasn't seen JJ. The police go back to see Lori. She and Chad have skipped town. Where have they gone? Where would they possibly go? Hawaii with her apparently unlimited frequent flyer miles. I swear the people that work at the Hawaii airport are like, oh, it's this lady again with a different generic looking white middle-aged man. Is this guy number 9? How many times has she been here?
So she must have places that she frequents on Kauai, right? She must have like her favorite spots.
Do airlines to Hawaii have credit cards? Because she has one of those credit cards.
Oh, yeah. Like Hawaii Air?
Yeah. Melanie calls Lori and is recording the call. Chad says, hi, sweet Melanie. And I threw up in my mouth.
Yeah. And I turned off my phone and said, enough of this. I'll come back to you later.
I'm buying a new phone. This phone is tainted now. I'm switching to Sprint because I cannot.
Forever unclean. Forever unclean.
AT&T has done me dirty. So Melanie asks, is JJ safe? And Lori says, yeah, he's safe and happy. And then Melanie's like, you know, I think you've been deceived by Satan.
There we go.
Tammy died. Your husband died. The kid is missing. This doesn't sound like God's plan. And Lori basically says, I'm rubber. You're glue. If I'm deceived, then so are you. Because she literally says, you sound like you've been tricked by Satan and you're saying all the, I think that you've been talking to some demons. It's so dumb.
It's a really dumb conversation.
Kindergartners.
Then she drops the bomb.
Corridor.
Korahor.
She calls them both Korahor. Melanie
the
does.
The demon from ye old days, Korahor, comes out of his cave.
The Antichrist, Korahor, who has a Scottish brogue for some reason.
For sure he does. Get real. Korahor.
Then Melanie talks to, and we're not making fun. Well, we have a lot of Mormons that listen to the show. Much respect to your religion.
I'm sorry. It really does sound like it should have that accent attached to it. Come at me. But am I wrong?
I don't see it, but when you do it, it sounds right. So I wouldn't have thought of it, but when you do it, it sounds right.
Okay.
So then Melanie talks to Alex, Lori's brother, and says, do I want to know what happened to JJ? And he says, no, you don't want to know. Which means he does know, and it's bad.
Why wasn't that the moment the penny dropped? Because she had had that conversation with Alex before, right?
I think this was after the phone call with the police.
Okay, that makes me feel better. Okay.
I think it was after. So then Alex dies of blood clots to his lungs. So this is another person that has now died in Lori's orbit. Melanie thinks he died from guilt because he was feeling so guilty. No.
I think he died from being killed. Does that help?
I think he died by death.
He died by a murderous hand.
Zulema, the cuddle therapist, cuddled him to death or controlled the elements to poison him.
I'm sorry, blood clot in your lungs sounds like you couldn't breathe.
No, that's like a pulmonary embolism. Like it forms somewhere in your body and travels to your lungs. Or I guess it could form in your lungs.
Is there a way to cause a pulmonary embolism?
No. Maybe there's a poison that does it.
There we go.
But obviously Melanie is not, she thinks he died of guilt. And I'm like, Melanie, get with the program.
Melanie's a little naive.
She's a little simple, I want to say. Melanie needs to look at the chart that I'm going to make on my whiteboard / foam board.
Bulletin board.
Yeah. And she's going to be educated.
She's going to be depressed. Use your pegboard, girl.
I don't have a pegboard.
Yes, you do.
Oh, I do have a
from the booth.
No, I got rid of that.
Oh, well, that's foolish. Now what are we? You would have had it for this.
It was taking up a ton of room.
Yeah, it was big. Okay, right, that's fine.
So now the search for the children, where are the children, is going public. The FBI are involved. Dateline chases down Chad and Lori in Hawaii holding hands. We've seen the footage. Samantha sees the footage. And is like, my sister just died and you're walking around with this B word with the short skirt that says Hawaii on the butt. I have a big problem with that.
Is it a skort or a skirt?
I don't think it was a skort. I think she had a bikini on underneath. I think it was a skirt. I don't think so. I think it was just her bikini.
Can I ask a really obvious question?
Yeah. Where are the children?
No, besides that one. Every Mormon in my high school had to wear sleeves to the prom. So how come she gets to walk around in a shorty skirt and a tank top with a bikini that says Hawaii on the butt?
Well, people's belief systems change over time. Now, even the Duggars, like they wore like basically prairie dresses when they first started that show. And then they started to wear cute clothes, but they still, most of them wear skirts because they personally and their family don't wear pants. But now one of them has started wearing pants. It's an uproar. So people's beliefs, I think, just depending on what they do. People on Salt Lake City, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, you're not supposed to drink if you're a Mormon. One of them owns a liquor company. And she's like, I have made peace with my God. He is fine with me having a liquor company. He wants me to be rich. So she's fine with it. People, it's like any religion. Like
no, but I thought modesty was a part. I think that's because that was my experience with my friends that were Mormon growing up. And so I think I thought that that was like in certain religions, there are a type of dress that's, you know, that's kind of the thing. But and I assumed that it was like that, but it probably isn't. It's probably like how denominations change from area to area as well.
Like in Judaism, there's different, you know, you can be Reform or Orthodox, but also, the women on Real Housewives always have their boobs out. Always.
Well, they probably paid good money for them. But also, Lori does whatever she wants and picks and chooses from whatever script, from whatever parts of the good book she wants. Mm-hmm. So we have
She's, been married 5 times now.
And I'm pretty sure it's not I don't think it's encouraged in any, I don't think any religion really wants you to get divorced, right?
No, divorce is not liked. But again, they talk about that in The Real Housewives. Such an education. Also, listeners coming at us with education, which I appreciate if it's done in a respectful way. We do have quite a few Mormon listeners who have said, yeah, it depends on the church. The, you know, divorce, you won't be like excommunicated necessarily. But there are some people who say the opposite, that you would be excommunicated. So it just, I think, depends on the actual church that you go to and the area. Again, we have nothing but respect for all religions. The courts ask Lori, where are the children? Because if you're not going to do the accent, then I am.
You did great. I'm passing the torch.
No, that was horrible. She doesn't produce the children. So she's arrested by my boyfriend, FBI Candy, that we only get to see in brief glimpses, but we get to see that same clip of him escorting her out of the plane. And now she's wearing a sweatshirt that says Maui. The girl loves Hawaii merch. She would be so easy to birthday present shop for.
Do you think she ever shuts up about Hawaii?
I think she says phrases and then people like look at her and she'll be like, oh, sorry, that's how we say it in Hawaii. Horrible.
It's horrible. Okay, go ahead.
So then we get to very briefly, they're not really that important in here, but I feel would feel terrible not mentioning them. Our favorite reporters, Nate Eaton from Idaho. Nate jumps in a helicopter and flies over Chad's house because he hears that police are digging up Chad's backyard.
Nate should be hired by Dateline, by the way.
Well, he's like an NBC correspondent.
But that means that he's helping them with this story full time. He should be full time.
Yeah, he should. He has a family in Idaho, though.
There's not many cases out there.
I don't know. But he rules the scene in Idaho. Him and...
Oh, he's the big man.
Him
now.
And Eric. I think it's Eric. They're huge time. Yeah. So all this is happening. They're digging up Chad's backyard.
Ooh, Chad is being weird now.
Sorry, they're back in... So Lori's arrested.
She's arrested in Hawaii and flown back to...
So States. That she can... Because she didn't produce the children... Chad flies home despondent all alone and goes back home. And that's when the search happens of the backyard. And as the search is happening in the backyard, Chad gets a call from Lori in prison.
Oh, God.
Hi, babe.
Ugh.
Hello. He sounds like Eeyore.
He's so sad.
Are you okay? They're searching the property. And he sounds despondent and no one feels bad for him. I'm sorry, Chad, is it rough that they're digging up your backyard? Is turning yourself into a god not going as well as you thought it would? Sorry. So he says to Lori, we'll see what transpires when they finish digging. Which basically means you know that they are going to find something or there's something that they could find. Because if there was nothing there, you wouldn't say, we'll see what transpires. You know something could transpire.
Also, her question at the beginning, I don't think they play it in this Dateline, but when she says, oh, are they just taking stuff again?
Right, from the house. And he goes, no, it's the property they're looking at.
And that's like silence.
Yeah, yeah. Also, this part, oh, no, I'll get back. I'll get you. Hang on. I got confused. The timeline is so confusing.
It is.
They find both children's bodies, which... I think most of us knew were going to happen, but it's still horrible. And we did not expect them to be in the backyard. And
Kimberly.
What?
I'm sad. The world is sad. This is, I think everybody had that piece of hope that like they were in a bunker. Even me. It was like, please let them just be. But we knew, like we knew when we saw the storage, like, you know, you just kind of know. And it's just like.
Yeah, the storage facility that they kept going in and out of. Yeah.
We know. But then we do learn some information right now that I did not know.
Tylee's body was dismembered and burned, which is so incredibly disturbing. That was your child. Alex did it. That is his niece.
I was so shocked.
But also, not making light of this at all, are they using actual like zombie lore from The Walking Dead?
Feels kind of like that. No, it's not making, that's a valid question because if they legitimately thought these two children were zombies, and also why is only Tylee
Right.
Desecrated in this way.
JJ was wrapped in plastic.
I can't see any sense of why, first of all, why you would do this, but second of all, why you would disrespect the body in such a horrific way of a young person.
Here's speaking only logically, Ty Lee was killed first. So Alex maybe didn't know as much what he was doing. So he was trying something like, maybe I should burn the body. But you realize you can't really get rid of all the bones that way. So then you still have to bury them. So maybe for JJ, he didn't feel like he had to.
And do you think that maybe he also just didn't have the heart for JJ?
Maybe. I don't know.
Was Alex starting to falter in the plan?
Right. And wane in his beliefs. Is that why he was killed? I don't know. He had just gotten married to Zulema, though. I don't feel like he would marry into the family, so to speak, like the belief system, if he had, was out, like falling out of it. Or did he just know
was
too much?
Was he pressured to marry Zulema? I don't. Yeah, we don't know things. Okay.
Absolutely possible.
That's a whole other dateline there, by the way. Alex himself is a whole other story.
They arrest Chad, and the best part is this woman is driving by, and she's recording it on her cell phone, and she's screaming, there he is! And I thought for a second she was going to throw a smoothie out the window at him.
Oh my God, a Frosty.
Yeah, I was, there he is! So they charge both Lori and Chad with felony counts of destruction, alteration, and or concealment of evidence. Not murder yet. Now, how did they know to search the backyard? Chad had texted Lori. I had an interest.
Texted Tammy.
Oh, I thought it was Lori.
Tammy.
Chad, right, because Tammy's still alive at this time. That's another whole thing. Tammy is still alive when they were buried on that property. He's still married to the woman who lives inside that house.
Oh, my God.
When they are buried on that property, which is, she's still alive. Yeah. And it's mind-blowing. So he texted Tammy, I had an interesting morning. I thought I should burn all the limb debris before they became too soaked by the coming storms. And so then we see my FBI candy guy reading it in the courtroom. This was like of the trials that started to happen more recently. Then he says, I shot a raccoon and he's in the pet cemetery. Fun times.
It's a very detailed text.
Fun times.
Wow.
This text he sent a day after Ty Lee was seen in photos at Yosemite for the last time.
Yellowstone.
Yeah. So the thinking is, since Tammy was still alive and living there, he told her, I killed a raccoon, if in case she saw there something had been dug up.
Well, yeah, if she saw fresh dirt.
Fresh dirt. But it was Ty Lee at this point. Police ask Tammy's family, and they say, oh, the pet cemetery is right next to the fire pit. Also, they put the children in a pet cemetery. I can't. Also, Alex, Lori's brother, his phone had pinged at the pet cemetery for several hours the day after Ty Lee was last seen. So he was doing most of the work or helping Chad.
Man, he is just the dirty work guy.
Well, Tammy's inside the house. 2 weeks later, the morning after JJ is last seen alive, Alex's phone pings again at the pet cemetery. I was actually super impressed by the investigators figuring all of this out.
Yeah, me too.
I thought it was really good detective work.
Me too.
Both Chad and Lori are being held on $1 million bond in separate cells, in separate jails, both saying they're not guilty. They haven't been charged with murder yet.
Why?
Unsure. When the experts from the court, remember, are maybe possibly colleagues / shipping, boyfriend, girlfriend, those experts, they are horrified because they were assigned to protect Ty Lee. This was before JJ was born, but they were assigned to protect Ty Lee, and they just feel like, why weren't we listened to? This all could have been prevented.
I really liked this. I liked this I told you so. I really do.
I love an I told you so. But I don't know if it would have stopped because I think she would have killed Joe anyways and then taken Ty Lee back. But it's so ironic that she was fighting so hard at that time to keep Colby and Ty Lee with her and not give them to Joe when later on she couldn't wait to get rid of her children once she was going to marry Chad.
It's really bizarre. And I would love to say it seems like there was some sort of a snap, like some sort of like a mental break that happened here. But this is sort of Lori's history is just.
With Joe makes it seem like it's always kind of been there.
It's just that Lori wants what she wants to a psychopathic level and will do whatever it takes.
Yeah. If you get in her way, something bad's going
to
happen.
For some reason, when she met Chad, she decided she wanted to be a sexy teenager again and also possibly be a demigod. Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
I mean, it's
a sexy demigod teenager without the bonds of children. Yeah. To hold her down. Yeah. So police are now relooking into Joe's death, but they still think it was a natural cause. Hopefully it's not the end of that. I feel like it's not going to be the end of that. Joe's sister Annie had the best analogy about looking at a 500-piece jigsaw puzzle and half the pieces are still missing. And I liked that. The police are still looking into Charles's death, and they say it will likely be referred to prosecutors soon.
I can't wait.
But who are they going to charge? Alex is already dead. He's the one who actually did the killing.
I think they're going to charge Lori with conspiracy.
It has to be. But the only witnesses were Tylee and JJ, who are both gone.
And Alex.
And Alex, who's gone. But hopefully.
Please get her on this.
Yes. Tammy's autopsy was finally completed a month ago, but it hasn't been released. So that's going to be the next bombshell. I cannot wait to find out. If it says natural causes, I'm going to flip out and not buy it. I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it.
I'm hoping they run every test for weird stuff. We need that toxicology doctor we had a while ago from the ER that
yes.
was like, I'm going to test for, what do you test for? Zipperin or whatever it was.
Uh-huh. Thallium.
Thallium. Yeah, that's it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Keith says these innocents, they encountered two who imagined they flew too close to heaven. And this is the weirdest. I'm sorry. I can't even understand what it is. Okay. These innocents, they encountered two who imagined they flew close to heaven and instead were mere dust like the rest of us and left death in their wake. Thank you, Keith. You ended it beautifully. You ended it so beautifully. He's a poet, and he knows it. This episode is dedicated to Terry R. and Megan D. Both of these women are amazing Patreons. They are, first of all, not zombies. They are, second of all, worthy of being in the 144,000. They are not Cora horror related.
No. In fact, I would like to give them a Cora hug.
They can control the elements. But their special power is...
How about their special power is friendship? And we appreciate your
like
friendship.
Like the Care Bears.
In listening. Yeah, Care Bear Stare. In listening to... Although that movie...
Not good.
Have you watched the Care Bear movies?
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I did. I loved Care Bears.
Care Bear movie and Care Bear movie 2. The one at camp where the boy turns into Cora Horror. Basically.
Except Cora Horror is a real thing and a real religion.
I'm calling him out like a demon. I am just using Cora Horror in place of Beelzebub or another demon.
Nick Schneider,
yeah.
Well, Nick Schneider is just a demon, which is lower than the Antichrist.
I just don't know why he has a name like Nick Schneider.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
It's really like, that's what makes it the weirdest. Like Nick is a terrible first name for a demon. No,
it's like his name was Todd. This is a demon Todd that's going to kill you. And you were like, hi, Todd.
Yeah. This is a demon Scott. What? Get out of here. Scott's not going to hurt me. Scott's going to help me do my taxes. No, it's ridiculous. Anyways, thank you so much, ladies.
Terry and Meg, just hearts, heart emojis coming at you. Care Bear hearts.
But not the one from the creepy movie. The one from the other movie that's not as creepy. I'm going to send it to you. Thank you so much, Terry and Meg. Okay, let's jump right in to alternative theories. I'm skipping B-roll.
Fine, go.
The people kept dying from natural causes, but I want to float the possibility of supernatural causes. That those people that were dying from natural causes actually did die because Chad and Lori are basically
it's real.
Worshiping Satan.
Yeah, I buy it.
Okay.
I totally buy it. The other alternative theory is that... Which Shane Bishop, the producer of the case tweeted about is that he wondered, honestly, if he's like, this is just my opinion, if Alex maybe had COVID, because apparently his symptoms, he was getting sick and having coughing spells, and he had just been to Vegas. And this was sort of, I guess, like way before, like the early, it would have been like the early cases of COVID.
You know what's weird about that is, remember, that's what Chad was trying to say on the phone. Did you catch that? He had said that she was coughing. Tammy was coughing. He used coughing specifically. And he also said, and she was getting weaker and weaker. And I begged her to go to the doctor and she wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, there are so many people that passed away from COVID that we don't, are not in the numbers.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm wondering if Chad specifically is using that as an excuse.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really buy that. He was saying that to Melanie. It's not like he was saying, and he knew he was being recorded. I don't think he knew. I don't buy that. But it's, I mean, I guess it's possible. If Shane thinks it, then I'll say it's possible about Alex.
Question. Why are the mental health experts in a bar?
Were they?
They were.
What was behind them?
Liquor. Rows and rows of liquor.
That's odd and not what you want to see from a court expert.
But I did like it because it made me think again that they're going out to the pub and they've had a long day. She gets a glass of Chardonnay and he gets, I don't know, some sort of beer on tap. And they sit there and talk about their case.
Their cases. Yeah, they commiserate.
And unwind. I like it. Kimberly, the ghost of Kimberly Future, is reading a book.
Oh, so you are doing B-roll.
Did you catch the title? I am. I launched in.
No. Well, was it one of her books?
It looked like the title was long, and I was suspecting that it might be Women Are from that book. What's it called?
No, but she has titles that are just like that. That's how Whitney from Salt Lake City found her. It totally could have been one of her books. Now that I know who it was, I would have to go back and look, but
I'm so excited. Yeah,
she might have been reading her own book.
She definitely is. That's a plug, but they fog the cover. You can't see the cover. Did you have B-roll? Sorry, I launched in without you. Oh, I did like that we get Tammy, the sister, talking on the phone and staring out the window. We don't often see people talking on a phone. She's talking on her cell phone.
No, usually window is correlated with drinking coffee or tea.
And I thought we were going to see a teacup and we don't. We see a phone. Interesting. Okay. Also, find you a person that looks at you the way this is Tammy's sister. The way Tammy's sister's husband looks at her when she's sad and he's looking at her so worried. And I was like, he's a nice man.
Also, they're kind of awkward holding hands walking through the neighborhood. It was adorable in its awkwardness.
I think they're a great couple. I really am rooting for them.
I think they're a great couple. I honestly think they're a great match. But it was kind of funny them walking hand in hand. Like,
I think they're just not hand holders. So I think it was much more natural when they're in the chairs and he has his hand on her hand. I was like, that seems good.
Right. But the hand holding walking through it felt uncomfortable and like their gait wasn't right. It just felt like.
But have you ever held hands with, like if you're holding hands with someone who's not the same size as you, this is a constant problem for me because I have arms like a spider.
Right. It's probably really awkward.
You have to like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like holding it up like a purse. Yeah.
If you and I were to hold hands, it would be complicated. Yeah, let's try. We should do that more.
Away Suitcase, you're sponsoring our next trip and we're going to hold hands.
We're going to hold hands the whole time. I did have a couple fashion police really quick.
Yes, I do too.
Okay, red hair with the red lipstick. That's one of my favorite style choices, by the way, when you're matching the red hair to the red lips.
And her name is Annie.
And it's like that matte orange red. I love her. And then I had one other. Oh, that wedding dress picture of Kimberly from Christmas Future.
Whoa, boy. It's like, it has like a headpiece that's like Cleopatra.
Like a Vegas showgirl.
Like with the beads and the.
The widow's peak.
The widow's, yeah. It's
oh my God.
So much fat. But she even makes fun of it. So I like that.
Also, I guess if you're going to do it, have something that's so time period specific that it's like cannot be denied.
Yes. I always say go classic, don't do time period, but it's kind of fabulous. If you go, then just go overboard with it. Yeah.
Just the full Princess Diana is basically what she had. It was really good. I loved that.
Lori's hair in her wedding to Joe, she has the little, I don't know what it's called, where you clip. Use the little tiny, tiny butterfly clips that in pieces, it almost makes it look like you have cornrows.
The Gwen Stefani. Remember from No Doubt days?
Mm-hmm. And yes. Okay. That's what it is. And then Tammy in high school had short, fluffy mohawk hair, like not mohawk, but it was like spiky, like Emily Valentine in 90210. Very stylish.
Oh, I liked it. It was very cool.
Keith crosses his legs and he's wearing maroon Converse, which I have not seen that color on him.
I like it.
I love it. And then the court expert with the jaunty hat with a feather on it. I loved, loved. She's not wearing it during her interview. She's wearing it during one of this B-roll. But a listener sent us a picture today and said, what happened to her elbow? Because if you look really closely, she's wearing a white shirt. Her elbow is all bloody. It's like all red and bloody. So I had to ask Shane on Twitter. I was like, what happened? Did an owl see the feather in her cap and then attack her like Michael Peterson's wife? Team owl theory forever. He said, no, she fell on the way to the interview, but she's a champion. She kept going. She's a tough lady.
Who caught that? I didn't see it at all.
I know. Wasn't that impressive? Like eagle eyes.
But seriously, her whole style, like with the red, like sort of cape shirt, she was, oh my God.
I loved it. Wait, let me find, it was Sam on Instagram.
Do we find out who makes that felt wide brim hat? Because I'd like to know. That woman had style. Does she have an Instagram?
Titles. Do we have any better titles?
Feel the fire.
Feel the fire. Yeah, I like it.
What do you have?
Love wins, we all lose.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, this is, I like this one. What happened to Joe? And you'll meet new people.
Okay.
Because it kind of just, it's like the others. It tells us what happened.
Yeah, plus more. Okay.
Yeah. And then fun times at Rexburg High.
Ooh.
Because he said fun times.
I like that.
And it's like fast times. Yeah. That's all good. I got.
What about empty nesting?
Gross.
Yeah. What about lost in translated?
Okay. Not bad.
That's all I had.
Yeah.
I was happy with lost in translated.
I liked it. I loved it. Thank you, everybody. We don't have Twitter today because we're so long. But thank you for listening. Please check us out on social media. We have so much fun. Please check out our Patreon. We do bonus episodes every month, and we do 90 Day Fiancé. We do YouTube live chats. We do tons of fun stuff.
Wait, before we go, I'd like to leave you with this. Just a really quick trademarking idea for a show coming soon to the HG Network. Cora Horde, : Inside Satan's Lair. Do you like it? Do you feel like that could be a thing?
Yeah, I love it. I'm here. Right. I'd watch it. I would totally watch it.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah.
Bye,
Thank
everybody.
You, everybody. Bye.
All I know is I'm still mad I wasn't allowed to go to steak dances. I'll never forget it. Molly, if you're listening, my mom should have let me go.
I don't know what that means.
It's a dance they hold at the Mormon church. They held these like parties.
Do they serve steak there?
For kids. No, I'm not sure where they were called a steak dance.
And are you staking vampires?
No, I don't know. I think it must, the steak must be something, maybe the stakes
are very high. No, I bet it's like, low. I bet it's like a steak that is symbolic of something.
It must be.
Like the pole in Festivus, you air your grievances around the pole.
I don't know. Again, Molly, come at us.
I think I look good in pink.
You do look good in pink. So that's just a lie. That is a lie that you're telling
yourself.
How about I think I'm always going to be on time. Consistently, always, fully believe that I will be on time. And usually am at least 1 to 2 minutes late at the minimum. There you go. But I firmly believe every time that I'm going to be on time.
You know what that's called, Katie? I said Haiti. You know what that's called, Katie?
That's called I hate it, Katie.
That's called hope.
It's called hope.
You have hope.
And I still have time.
To get better. I'm being on
time. To be on time.